to settle in through the person of the Holy Spirit, and you may encounter the love of God for the first time in your life. Well, what do we know about love? 1 John 4:16 says this, "And so we know this, and we rely on the love of God. Why? Because God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives within him." God describes himself in the book of 1 John as being love. Of all the things he could have described himself as in this particular text, he chose to say, "I am love." Why? Because here's what we know. Sociologists tell us this, psychologists tell us this, that there's a basic need within everybody in this room. Now, it doesn't matter how jaded you are, how skewed you may be, or how life has treated you. Here's what we know is true. Everyone in this room needs to feel loved, and you need to love. One of the most staggering stories I ever heard, I was right out of college, and I'd gone to this thing called Atlanta Fest, sort of a big Christian concert. It was in Atlanta at the time at the Speedway, at the racetrack. And it rained that year. I mean, sort of like we've had here, so we called it Aquafest, because truly, they had to move everybody from the infield up to some hills and different places. And Charles Stanley was speaking. Some of you know who he is. Some of you don't. He's a guy who's been preaching since Methuselah, okay? Just so you know, I think, you know, before there was TV, there was Charles Stanley, probably somewhere, right? He's just been out there that long. Charles Stanley stood up to a bunch of teenagers who had been rocking it out, I mean, going nuts for hours. And this guy, at that point, was in his 60s, stood up and said, "I want you to sit down. I want you to listen, because this is going to change your life." Now, how many of you know that's not what you do? No, that's what he did. And I will tell you, for an hour, I'm not going to talk an hour, for an hour, he talked about this story, and here it is in two-minute format. Charles Stanley, pastor of First Baptist Church, Atlanta, the nation's pastor, many people consider, because he still has a huge TV ministry, said this. He said, "I come to a place in my ministry life that I was dead. I was dead on the inside. I was dead on the outside. I had nothing to offer anymore. I don't know what happened." He said, "I called up two of my best buddies in ministry, two other famous preachers. They met at a hotel outside of Atlanta. And they went into a room, and one of the guys said, 'Okay, Charles, this is what we want you to do. We want you to start telling us about your life from the very earliest memory you have all the way to the most recent memory you have.'" They spent 2 days listening. Charles would go through periods of crying, of weeping, where he had to stop. They would take breaks, you know, to eat, that kind of stuff. And then they would come back and they would listen. At the end of 2 days, one of the guys looked at Charles and said, "Look, I get it. I know what your problem is." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "You have never felt the love of God. Everything you know about God is in your head. Nothing has moved from your head to your heart and warmed you and changed you." Now, here's what I know in here today. With this many people, there's somebody here who has never felt the love of God. You could pass all the Jeopardy questions. You know, you get on Jeopardy, you could ace the Jeopardy category. Man, you could probably do well in trivia. You can answer the stuff you hear on the radio. But when it comes to really experientially encountering the love of God, you have never encountered the love of God. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in a manger to bring us the reality of the love of God. The scripture says that God is love. He expresses that love through the person of Jesus Christ. In 1 John 4:19, he goes on to say, "We can love, and we love because God first loved us." Now, I want you to think about that. Before we could seek God in a loving relationship, God sought us. Before we could run out and begin to say, "I love God and I care about God," God first loved us. Now, we look at our earthly relationships, and it doesn't work like that sometimes. Sometimes it does, sometimes it don't. I know most of you guys in here. I know, I get it. The women chased you. Am I right? Amen? Right? The women chased you. Come on, guys. Some of you are sitting there saying, "I'm not going to admit it because she's sitting next to me." Right? Well, I can tell you, I chased my wife, and I'm thankful she stumbled because I caught her. Down here, love is a pursuit game. Somewhere along the line, there's a pursuer, and there's a chaser, and there's a follower, and we get that. Between you and God, you couldn't chase God. You were unable to chase God. You weren't capable of loving God. The Bible says when you couldn't love God, He loved you. God loves you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born in a manger. And it was the physical expression of the greatness of God's love for you. Because if we enter that relationship with Him and we allow that love relationship to transform us and to change us, there's some realities that become true. And you can have all of these today. All of these can be yours today. First of all, you can love beyond the hurt. If you encounter the love of God today and God's love invades your life and you're awakened to faith and salvation and your life has changed, you can love beyond the hurt. Because here's what I know. In this room right now, some of you have been hurt. Some of you have been profoundly hurt. You've been profoundly hurt by your spouse, by your significant other. They walked out on you. They cheated on you. They rejected you. You got these words, "I don't love you anymore. Get over it." And that's what you've heard. Some of you in this room have gotten that. And so you sit here today going, well, that's what I understand about love. That's my definition of love. That's how I feel it. That's how I interact with it. That's how I get it. So how can there be something bigger than this? I promise you, the love of God transcends the lack of love from any human. Some of you are going through incredible hurts right now and struggles. I don't know what they are, but you do. And the great news is God does. And He knows the struggle you're going through. And you're sitting there going, there's no way I can love or be loved because this struggle is too great. Some of you are struggling with secret sins, sins that have shackled your life and caused you to live in shame and regret and remorse. For years, you've just struggled with it, and you can't break free. God loves you. God cares about you. God has a plan for your life. And it's profound, and it's better and bigger than anything you're struggling with today. His love is stronger than that. Some of you are here, and your current hurts are real. You're struggling financially. You're looking at Christmas. You've got stuff under the tree. You don't know how you're going to pay for it. You got bills coming due next month. You don't know how you're going to pay for it. And it is real, and the struggle is hard. The love of Christ can cause you to elevate above that and understand His love, and you can be loving even above that. Some of you are in relationships that are falling apart with your kids. There's nothing more hurtful than not having the right relationship with your children. As a parent, doggone it, we might not like them every day, but we love them. Amen, parents? I mean, if we could sell them on eBay, we'd love the break for about 3 days. But we'd want to get them back because we always love them. They can't love them. I love the story that George H.W. Bush told about his dad once, and this isn't political, it's just about love. So don't everybody say, you know me, I don't do that. All right, I just don't do that. But George H.W. talked about his rebellious time in his life when his drinking was out of control and he ran his car through his house. Bad day. That's a bad day. And so his dad looked at him after all that and said, it's not going to work. So what are you talking about? He said, you can't make me not love you. So it's not going to work. Parents, isn't that true? No matter what you do, kids, you can't make us not love you. Try. It's not going to work. Because we're always going to love you. Right, parents? Amen. We're just going to do it. Because of the love of Christ dwelling in you, transforming you, changing you, awakening your dead spirit to life, you can love beyond any circumstance. You really can. You can love beyond human need. See, a lot of times we love because it's what we get in return. We don't love from a full, complete life. We love from a fractured, broken life. So when we love, we get something in return. When we love, we get a good feeling. When we love, we get support. When we love, we get some temporary satisfaction. When we love, we get some security. When we love, we get some affirmation in our soul. We love from a fractured, needy life. All of us do at some point. And so we love from this perspective, knowing that we get something in return. But let me talk to you for a minute about how God loves. God loves from a complete person, from a whole life. God's not fractured or hurt or injured in any way. When he loves us simply because he chooses to love us, not because he needs anything from us. God is not emotionally weak. He is not emotionally needy. He is not emotionally fractured. He is holy, complete, and perfect. And when he loves from that point of view, and he loves because he chooses to. He doesn't love because he needs to. What's better, to be loved because you're wanted or to be loved because you're needed? I say be loved because you're wanted. God loves from a perfect perspective. If you're here today and all you've known is conditional love, that's all you've ever known. I will love you if you do this. I will love you if you do this. I will stay with you if you do this. I will stay with you if you do that. If all you've known is conditional love, let me introduce you to Jesus, that there are no conditions you can meet to cause him to love you more or less. None. You can't earn it. It's the first and only way to experience true unconditional love. You mean if I flunk my test, God's going to love me? Yes. You mean if I get old and my hair falls out, he's going to love me? Yes. See, I hide it up here. But I don't mind showing you. My wife loves me even if I'm bald. Right, honey? That's right. God loves you unconditionally. And we don't really get that because culturally we don't see it anywhere. Because everybody loves with a hook. I love you, but I got to get something out of you. I love you, but I got to get something over here. I love you, but I need this. And you pull it in here. Everybody loves with a hook. Except God. There's nothing you can do to make God an A player. He's already an A player. There's nothing you can do to make God feel good. He feels perfect all the time. And it's out of that perfection that he loves you. If you know the love of Christ today, if it dwells within your heart, if you know him personally, you can love beyond need. You can love beyond selfishness. Marriages die when one person decides not to be sacrificial. Marriage dies. Relationships die when a person refuses to be selfless. That's when a relationship dies. And so we walk around on this earth with certain degrees of selfishness in our life. And depending on how much in control or out of control it is will depend on the health of the relationships around us and our ability to love. So God's love allows you to rise above the selfishness, to love beyond self-driven interest and desires. God takes you to a place of loving that is transcendent because that's what he does. Here's the God who invites you to know him today and to learn to love like him. Let me share with you Psalm 86:15. The Bible says, "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." Listen to the God who's speaking to you today through the manger. The God who revealed himself through Jesus in the manger. The love that we're talking about. Here's what the Bible says about him. He's compassionate. How many of you have ever needed someone just to understand? Have you ever called a friend, say, "I don't need advice"? That usually shortens the conversation, right? Right. I don't need advice. I just need somebody to listen and care. Have you ever been there? Have you ever just needed somebody to listen and to care? Someone to show you compassion. You're hurting. Maybe you caused all the hurt in your life, but someone to still reach down there in that hurt and say, "I love you. I care about you. You matter. I'm going to show you compassion. Even though all that pain you caused, I'm still going to show it to you." Anybody ever need that? Boy, I have. The Bible says the God of heaven, the God who revealed himself in the manger through the person of Jesus Christ, is a compassionate God. It says that he is a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Grace, unmerited favor, unearned favor. You can't earn it. He's a gracious God. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Terry, you mean I could go live like I want to and God will still love me?" Yeah, he'll still love you, but you're going to live with the results of that. And the results of that are not good. Will he still love you? Yeah, but he won't pull you out of the jailhouse. You're going to have to sit there for a while. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about graciousness. Here you are trying to live life, trying to love God, trying to love others. But if we all are healthy in our self-examination, and I mean healthy, I don't mean, you know, beating ourselves up too much, and I don't mean letting ourselves off the hook too easy. I mean, if we're honest in our self-assessment, we blow it on a pretty regular basis. Now, I probably blow it more than you, but we all blow it in this room, right? And therefore, we understand a gracious God is an amazing God. See, study world religions for a minute. Just not right now. Please don't do it right now. But do it on your way home. Study world religions. And look, all the deities that people worship demand that their followers love them and surrender to them. All other deities demand that. But our God, the true and living God, says, no, I'm going to love you and sacrifice for you. That is profoundly different than any place else in the world. So God is a gracious God. He's slow to anger. All of you better be smiling now. Slow to anger. Okay, when you were kids, let me ask you this. Come on, be honest. When you were kids, how many of you did something and hid it from your parents? How many of you don't want to admit that because your parents are nearby, right? Just, right? Yeah, you did. Of course you hid it from your parents. Why? Because they'd get mad. They get angry. You know what? You know what? You got caught. You know what? We should get the mic and start telling stories, right? How many of you would have to leave town if you told the stories? Anybody have to leave town? The rest of your line. All right? So, absolutely. Absolutely. We didn't do it because we don't. How many of you, okay, spouses, this is marriage therapy right now, marriage therapy. All right? How many of you have done something that you've hidden from your spouse because you didn't want them to get mad? My wife's sitting right back there. All the rest of you want to sleep at home tonight, don't you? I know what that is. The rest of you are like, I'm not saying anything. I'm going to sleep at the house. I've never done that, honey. Never. Here's what's crazy. God knows and sees everything. As a matter of fact, let me talk to you a little bit about the greatness of God. The greatness of God isn't that he's everywhere in the world, right? That's sort of how we've talked about omnipresence in the past, that God is sort of everywhere all at one time. That's really not the best biblical picture. The best biblical picture about God knowing and being everywhere at once is separating God out from time and space, setting him apart from it, and all the world and all of time, everything past, everything future, everything that's going on, all of time and space has already played out in front of him. He has already orchestrated everything through its designed end. He's already done everything that needs to be done. He's already seen everything you're going to do that you have done. But are you ready? That you're going to do because it's all played out in front of him. He's already known all of your thoughts. So there. Jesus said, if you've thought it, you've done it. It's a sin. So, God's already known all of this. And you know what? The Bible says that he still loves us and he's still slow to anger and that he's abounding in love. Abounding in love. That's a cool way of saying it. He's abounding. He's overflowing with love for you. And he's faithful. When we're not faithful, he is faithful. When we run the other direction, he stays consistent. When we ignore him in our thoughts and our minds and our choices and our decisions, God is there. He is faithful. The last thing I'd share with you today about the love of God is this. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So when God, as God is in eternity, because God is above and beyond everything he created, right? He's not bound to the world. He's above the world because he created it. So God's up here, and everything's played out in front of him, knowing everything you were going to do, everything you were going to think, everything you were going to plan and scheme, not just what you've already done, but what you're going to do from this day forward. God says, I still love you. I'm still going to show my grace to you. I'm still going to have mercy to you. And Christ is still going to die for you. He's the only child ever born marked for death for the good of humanity. When your baby was born and you took that little child home in your arms and you looked at them, you dreamed about the great things they could do, the wonderful places they can go, the great experiences and accomplishment and the fun they're going to have. When Jesus was born, the mind of God was the cross. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, you can know the love of God this Christmas, and it can change your life. Does it mean you'll be perfect? Nope. But it means you'll be forgiven. And it'll mean you'll have a relationship with him. God loves you that much. He cares for you that much. Well, the choice is yours this Christmas. To enjoy our time together today, thank you for coming, or to be transformed by surrendering your heart and your life to the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you that chance right now. Pray with me, if you will. If you're here today and God's awakened faith in you for the first time,